The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Wednesday edition of A Numbers Game here on DraftKings Network and VSiN. Matt Brown in for the vacationing Gil Alexander, getting some well-deserved rest and relaxation. He'll be back here in a couple of weeks. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me. We are proudly presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, and we'll have a good show with you. Will Hill come in, talk about all things in the sports world. Mike Pritchard, former NFL first rounder, will be with us. We'll get his thoughts on how the Super Bowl went down, and then look a little bit forward into what he thinks might happen in 2024 with those teams and teams beyond that. Talk a little golf today as well. We are now into official golf season. When the NFL ends, it's golf season around here. So golf season has officially begun. Kelly, of course, long shots out this morning. Wherever you get your podcast, if you want to go in and see all of our thoughts, but we'll cram as many as we can into a segment.
What other sports does that apply to? Golf? College basketball, NBA, NHL, did they all just start like two days ago?
Basically. We talked to Kai McKeon yesterday, and we were like, okay, basically college basketball started today. Like, I mean, for most people out there, people have not watched 1 second of college basketball. They will now. It'll be the only thing on television, so they'll pay attention to it. Give us where we sit right now.
Yeah. It's always tough when I get the conversation of the guy who's just jumping into the NBA, and it's like you'll get the question. And I'll be like, well, yeah, but their net rating over these last 2.5 weeks. And you're like, oh, wait, this guy just started watching. He doesn't care about
it. Who's this Wembanyama guy? And you're like, no, Wembanyama. Wait, no, Wembanyama. He's the future.
He's doing well.
He's the future. So one thing we have to get immediately to. So I woke up to this. I don't know if you went to bed to this or woke up to this news. I woke up to this news, and I was up fairly late for a fellow who had a 4:45 a.m. alarm set. We'll talk about that at another time. I'm an early riser as it is anyway. Like, my alarm goes off at 6. I pop out of bed. That hour, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it makes a difference, doesn't it, buddy? Yeah.
It's different. Something different. That hour, 15 minutes might as well be 6 hours. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it's just the 6 a.m. alarm, I pop right out of bed. 4:45, I'm kind of like, no way that thing's going off already. This is impossible.
I did the whole wake up about 20 minutes before my alarm went off
which always makes you feel like you got robbed of, like, 2 hours as opposed to the 20 minutes.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yes, exactly that.
Yeah. It's the whole thing of, like, body, why did you do that? Like, now I'm never going to be able to function. Yeah, I'm never going to be able to function today because you just robbed me that 20 minutes. So I wake up to a story that is all over the interwebs, all over, plastered everywhere, that apparently Kelly Bidlin, if we are to believe every word that is written in this story, the Warriors made a run at LeBron James at the trade deadline. And apparently, if you read into the story, well before the trade deadline, this apparently was like a week and a half leading into the trade deadline of trying to get something done to bring, yes, the GOAT, in my personal opinion, don't argue me, don't tweet at me, LeBron James to the Warriors here at the trade deadline for them to make a push into, you know, what is, let's be for real, a fading dynasty. These guys are all getting older. There might be a couple years left. Klay is probably gone in the offseason as it is anyway. So this is one of those deals where they're like, all right, let's give it one last go, one last run. Let's see if we can pull this off. You read the article, you start to realize how many people were involved. There's this GM and this assistant GM and this agent and this player is now making calls and this player is making texts and things are going on left and right. I have to believe, because it did get posted, and there's multiple sources in this, Kelly, that this is real and this did happen. But at the same time, how in the world, in today's age, were that many people involved and we did not hear about this leading into the trade deadline? Like, this must have been the shroud of secrecy like no other. Like, you had to go in, and in order to do this, you had to give them, you know, a sample of your blood, a list of your fears and all this if you wanted to talk about this, because I cannot believe something of this magnitude with as many people that were supposedly as involved as mentioned in this story did not somehow make it to the media.
Yeah, I hear you. I think my biggest, you know, the biggest shock to me of all of this was it's along those lines, because I think the Warriors probably wanted to keep this really, really, really quiet, because if they didn't pull it off, what would be the backlash internally with their team is probably the big point here. And I mean, you're talking about, like, this, if this was being talked about for a week and a half, 2 weeks, I mean, all we've talked about with the Warriors recently is how much better they've played, and it's been and it's been spurred along by, I mean, Draymond Green coming back, but Brandon Podziemski and what he's done and what Kuminga's done out there and how great they'd be. And you kind of have to assume that one of those guys, if not both of them, would be involved in a trade to get someone of LeBron's caliber, along with a salary dump, and I'd hate to call it a salary dump, but, you know, Klay Thompson or Chris Paul, like, it would likely be one of those two. And, like, we have in this ESPN story that is, I mean, Draymond was involved, so you know he's not going. Yeah. It makes the list very easy to get to of, okay, what guys could have potentially be traded. And now I think if you're some of these Warriors players, you're waking up today and being like, man, we've been playing some really great ball. Cool to find out I almost just got traded and this whole team almost got blown up.
If you are kind of parachuting in into the NBA and you're wondering, currently the Lakers are sitting in the 9th spot in the West. The Warriors sitting in the 10th spot in the West. So both teams kind of clawing, hanging on there. You do see a separation, though, from both of those teams to kind of where the Jazz sit right now. But, Kelly, neither one of them are, in air quotes, safe. Yeah. You know, they could fall out of the top 10 if they went on a bad run. And so with that, the Warriors seemed like, hey, look, Steph's still playing at a high level, but let's be for real. He's not the Steph of old. Draymond, we've got maybe a year or two left out of him playing at some sort of level. We get spurts with Klay here and there, you know. And so they go, listen, we bring in LeBron James, who at 39 years of age is still playing like an MVP. He's still playing ridiculously high level, something we've never seen before in the history of the NBA. Nobody has been this old playing at this level before. It's just never happened. And so, like, you know what? Who cares if we're only renting him for the rest of the season? This could get us to the playoffs and maybe at least make us a viable contender to make one last championship run here. So I don't blame the Warriors for kind of making the play here, but you also get a, you know, you also get now, like you said, the fallout of this somehow making it, somehow staying secret all the way up until way after the trade deadline. Now it makes its way out to the fallout of what may or may not be happening in the Warriors locker room right now, where people are looking around going, and if you're Klay Thompson, you know it's you.
Yeah, I mean, Klay and Chris Paul probably aren't going to care as much. Yeah, but, you know, it's the younger guys that you finally have started to see something out of that I would be worried about getting affected. The low-key funniest part of the story, though, is Daryl Morey and the 76ers. Like, Daryl Morey apparently just treats the NBA like it's NBA 2K, where he's just firing off trade offers to everybody, because apparently, well, he also called up the Lakers and then called the Suns about all big three.
All of them. He first asked about Durant, and they're like, yeah, no, that's not happening. And he's like, well, then what about Booker? You know, he's just asking.
Is this a fantasy league? Come on, man.
He's like, no on Durant. Okay, well, what about Booker? You ready to get rid of him? I'm like, well, no, that's not what we did here.
Like, no, you're going in the opposite direction too. Like, come on.
It's like, no, that's not what we did here. We tried to, you know, we tried to build a dynasty. We're trying to build a, you know, a winner here. So we're not going to get rid of any of these guys. So anyway, we are sitting currently 9th and 10th in the West. The Warriors try to make a push for LeBron James. I got to thinking about this, Kelly, as I read this, and now this is all off the top of my head. Again, I woke up to this story. This would have been, and I'm not going to say the most impactful, because it could have been just a rental for a couple of months or something.
That's worth explaining, though, real quick. LeBron's basically playing year-to-year contract-wise right now.
He has player options every single year. So he has player options every single year. He keeps opting out of them and then re-signing for more money. Right. And he re-opts out and re-signs for more money, which is what he'll end up doing if he ends up deciding to play next year as well. He's owed $51.5 million next year. He will opt out, and they'll probably give him 53 or 54 or 55 because he's LeBron James. But you look at this, and given the player that is involved in what we – know is the likely return, which it would have been, like I said, either Klay Thompson or Chris Paul, and then, you know, another, this would have been the biggest trade in the history of the NBA, just given who was involved. I understand it's a rental, and I'm not saying the most impactful trade long term or anything,
right? Yeah,
but like, you were talking about it as far as name value, it's Michael Jordan and it's LeBron James. Like, I mean, it's
Steph Curry, not too far behind. Obviously, he would be traded this, but he's part of the story at least.
Yeah, it would have been the biggest trade in the history of the NBA, because LeBron James moving over to a team that was already a dynasty and looked at as a dynasty in the Warriors at this point in his career, getting flipped for, again, like we said, be it Paul, be it Klay Thompson, because again, Klay Thompson, by the way, free agent in the offseason, may or may not come back. So they could have gotten rid of him, lots of salary, all that. That's the reason why we're gravitating towards him, maybe being involved in this deal. And so I'd love your opinion on it, being an NBA guy, but I couldn't think of something that has happened in the past that would trump this as far as like trades go in the NBA. It's LeBron James. Like, it would have been LeBron James moving from the Lakers to the Warriors to team up with Steph Curry to make one last run at a championship. I think it would have gone down as the biggest trade of all time, even if it was only for LeBron staying there for a few months.
Yeah, I'm pulling up some articles right now to try to think if there's a trade I'm not thinking of. No, it would have been by far the biggest.
Yeah.
I pulled up one story of the biggest NBA trades of the past three decades, and Anthony Davis to the Lakers is number one.
Right.
So, yeah, automatically, yeah, that trumps that one, yeah, very easily. Very easily
when it comes to all this. I mean, you sit there and, like, this is no, again, no disrespect to people of yesteryear, but we're talking pairing up LeBron James and Steph Curry to make this run, and as both of them are on the, you know, downside of their careers, kind of sunsetting here. With all of this, I couldn't believe I woke up to the story. Then I couldn't believe how this didn't make it into the public light somehow.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
as many people really that is involved. You read through the articles like, this person talked to this person, talked to this person, talked to this person, and swung back around with whatever, and then Draymond decides he wants to get involved. Wait, what?
Like, yeah, why is Draymond? Draymond has to sign off on things still? Like, that's what's going on with the war? Like, I am so confused how that organization is run. It's knock out your teammate and suspend you, and he's got to get better. And the next day, like, hey, Draymond, is this trade cool with you if we do this? Is that cool?
It's absolutely, absolutely wild. We only got to one story here, but it's a massive, massive story. We'll circle back around. Some big news coming out from the Bears as well. And then we got some NFL lines that are coming up. We're going to talk about those all show long. It's a number game here on a Wednesday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you've got the internet. Go to your browser of choice. Type in VSiN.com, VSIN.com. Check out the new look over there. We got better navigation as well. If you're on your cell phone, you can go to your browser on the cell phone as well. You get a mobile-first focus, so it's going to look very, very good and function very, very well on your phone. And then also, if you are kind of new to this whole betting thing, if you're swooping in, we got some educational content that we really, really beefed up over there on the site as well. Long time coming here for VSiN to get a facelift, so head on over to VSiN.com. Check out the new look over there. It is a numbers game here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me. Just talked a little bit about LeBron James potentially going to the Warriors at the trade deadline. Apparently LeBron said no thanks, and now every single talk show on the face of the planet is talking about it. It is going through my Twitter feed. Shouldn't he have done it? Shouldn't he have wanted to pair up with Steph and blah, and also, yes, you can just argue that. They're going to be arguing this until they're blue in the face for the next, yeah, I mean, it might extend through the whole rest of the week, actually.
I mean, to be fair, LeBron puts himself in these situations, right? With comments that he makes and tweets of hourglasses and stuff like that. And I mean, every time I've always read into that, Matt, it's always been pretty simple to me, because I always go back to last year. I think that was a perfect example. It's, hey, this team's not good enough. I'm getting old. I want to win. Go out and get me better teammates. And, you know, okay, that didn't really happen this time around. It did last year, though. Worked out fairly well for him, getting all the way to a Western Conference Finals. So that was the way I always read into this. But, man, the actual LeBron being on the trading block stuff turns out to be more of a reality than we all thought a week and a half ago or whatever when we were first hearing about it.
And again, we focus on the betting angle and stuff, so we're not going to debate whether he should have gone or shouldn't have gone or anything like that. I mean, that's for all your morning talk shows that are going right now. And but I will say this, from a betting aspect, it would have made the Warriors really, really interesting. I'll just put it that way. It would have made them very, very interesting to me.
Because okay, LeBron, wait, hold on. Still, now we got to talk about that for a
because
second.
Because LeBron still produces at such an incredibly high level, Steph is still just a massive, massive threat from the 3-point line. Like, it would have made the Warriors interesting.
Okay, Warriors currently 22-1 to win the West. LeBron goes there
12-10.
Okay, so are they still behind? They're still behind the Nuggets, the Clippers.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's probably it, though. So right now it's Nuggets, Clippers, Suns plus 750, Timberwolves plus 800, Thunder plus 900, Mavericks 14.
So then they probably are right on the level with the Suns. They'd probably be like co-thirds.
I think so too. The only reason I put up maybe them ahead of them is because of who knows what's going on with Bradley Beal now again after leaving that game last night with a hamstring injury. So it's like, yeah, you're probably talking about that range. I don't think it wouldn't be what I'd be rushing to bet, but like, you know, everybody in the world would be.
It would be wild. It would be wild for sure. So this story we wanted to get to in the top, but obviously LeBron possibly getting traded trumps everything, but it transitions to where we wanted to go with this segment anyway, is that sources tell Ian Rappaport that Chicago would need, this is air quote, historic haul of draft picks and overall compensation to trade the first pick of the draft. Now, I think that gets put out there just strictly because they know for sure they want to keep the pick. Like, they're 95% sure that they want to keep the pick and take Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields. However, you put that out there to see if there is any team that wants to give you a historic haul in compensation for the pick. Like, that's why you throw that out there, so that someone like goes, you know what? I have fallen in love with Caleb Williams. I'm going to give the Bears a historic haul of picks and compensation for that number one overall pick. And so that's why they threw it out there. And, you know, listen, I don't think it's going to happen, Kelly. I think it is even if you think all things are considered, all things are equal between Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. So you are the Bears, and me and you are sitting here, we're across the table from each other, and we're just discussing the two guys. And we really like the progress that Fields made over the last couple of years, but the upside that could potentially come from Caleb Williams. So with all that, we've seen it with our own eyes, potential, we just put them dead even. Then that put Caleb Williams.
And real quick, is that how you would characterize him? Because that is probably how I would characterize him.
Well, there's always like the element of the unknown with the new guy.
So,
right?
I mean, add that on to the pros for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, like there's
I'm still a believer in Justin Fields.
Yes, yes. And so I think, so let's just say all things created equal, then Williams trumps Fields because you get to start over on the rookie deal again, right?
Exactly.
Like, so the decision then is made for you. I don't think they're going to put Fields significantly ahead of Williams by any stretch, because again, it did take Fields several years to get here to where he's at right now, as to where Caleb Williams could come in and look like C.J. Stroud for all we know. Now, we don't, that's the thing about all this. You kind of almost have to take the gamble, because if you hit, then you have put yourself in such an incredible spot because you have now reset that whole deal where you've got the, you know, you're going to get the three cheap years. That's the other thing about all this, right? If you don't know how NFL contracts work, you can't even renegotiate with someone until they've been in the league for 3 years. So you get the 3 years without even having to worry about what you're going to pay Caleb Williams after this, right? Like, there are some guys that get that extension in the fourth year. Of course, we talk about the Burrows and Herberts and stuff like that, where you don't have to worry about getting to the, like, you know, oh man, is a guy going to leave or not? But the first 3 years, so you reset that clock with Caleb Williams. 3 years, you're not worried about anything at the quarterback position as far as money goes. You know exactly what it's going to be. You don't have to worry about re-upping and renegotiating.
Just got to focus on developing him like you did. You know, you were trying to do with Justin
Fields.
Get
more weapons around him, all the different things like that, right? And so, and that's the thing. This draft is set up perfectly for them to where, with the pick that they have at 9 as well, one of the receivers is going to be there too. So you can get Caleb Williams. You've already got Moore in town, and now you can get that wide receiver two for him as well.
Keon Coleman.
And it works out absolutely perfect for them there. So, again, for me, I think this is just let's dangle the carrot and see if anyone is willing to just, I don't know, mortgage their entire franchise, you know, for the next 5 years to get Caleb Williams. And then at that point, we'll reassess we're at. But I don't think they're going to get it. I think it's Caleb Williams, and I think Justin Fields moves, which brings us to a market that's actually up right now, which is Justin Fields' next team odds over there over on DraftKings. And you see the Steelers sitting at -125. The Bears are at 2-1. Falcons at 6-1. Patriots at 6.5-1. Broncos 12, Commanders 12, Raiders 12. So what you get here is all the incredibly quarterback needy teams. Then you get into the teams that might have a quarterback solution for a short term, but need it for a long term. So Seahawks 25-1, Bucks 35-1, Vikings 35-1. So Kelly, you look at this, and the Steelers come out as the favorite because now we get this, that we know the leak starts coming out. Tomlin really likes Justin Fields. He thinks that Justin Fields can get it done. They release Trubisky. They say that quarterback position is wide open for them in the offseason, that they are looking for competition at the quarterback position. The Bears obviously going to be up there because he's, you know, already on the Bears. He would have to leave if it's not going to be the Bears. And then you get the Falcons and the Patriots. I don't know why the Patriots are as short as they are, because the Patriots don't need to trade for a quarterback sitting with the number three pick, because they can take a quarterback in the draft. So I don't know why you would give up a ton of compensation and future capital and all of that to move up a couple of, you know, to take Justin Fields when you can just, again, restart. Like, what do people think the difference between Justin Fields and Jaden Daniels is right now?
Right,
I mean,
sure,
like, you know,
yeah,
like exactly. You just take Jaden Daniels and again, so just, I don't know why the Patriots are as short as they are, but the Falcons,
I even think the next two are even a couple.
Like the Falcons are my dream team for this to manifest, obviously, you know, sitting at the 6-1, super quarterback needy. But you get the Commanders, I don't get them at 12-1 because the Commanders are just going to take Drake May.
Same thing.
Yeah, they're just going to take Drake May with the second pick, so that doesn't make any sense.
And the Broncos, it's impossible to do anything with, and we're going to talk about him next, but Russell Wilson, right? Yeah. You don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson yet.
Yeah, so for me, it's kind of a two-way bet here, because I truly believe that the Bears are going to move on. So I think it's Steelers or Falcons. And those are the only two that make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, I don't think that there is, in fact, you know, a scenario in which one of these other teams, like, why would the Patriots make a trade for a quarterback when you can just get one with your draft pick that you have right,
right.
now?
Like, yeah, I think it's easy to cross them off the list. The only other one on there I thought was slightly interesting was the Raiders at that long odds, 12-1. Like we've heard them linked to some of these quarterbacks. I don't know why you wouldn't be interested in Justin Fields. I mean, of all the quarterbacks that are kind of out there, and we're going to talk about a couple of them more here too. But like I would still feel like Justin Fields, because of this, is Chicago's in its own situation, right? For these other teams, you still have the ability to go out and get a young quarterback that you think is on the rise. Yeah. Like, he would be a very valuable trade.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like the reason the Patriots don't make any sense, because they're sitting in a spot to get one of those. The Falcons, the reason the Falcons make sense and the Steelers make sense. Steelers are way down. They can't come close to getting, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks without having to give up a ton. And then you look at the Falcons sitting with that eighth pick. They can't get, so it's just, to me, it's those guys and those guys only. But who knows? Maybe the Seahawks or the Bucks or the Fire are willing to. Who knows? You tell me, Kelly. I mean, you know.
We'll talk about some of the other quarterbacks after Will. But like, I mean, should the Steelers have, based off of 1 week, be this big of favorites in any of these? I mean, that's the other part.
No, there's no way in the world. But hey, you know, that's what we do here. We overreact to things. We're overreacting. We're out of football. That's all we can do is overreact to things. Let's talk to Will Hill. See if he's got any overreactions when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you are not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, do we have a deal for you? For just $9.99 American, you can go in and you can dip your toe in, see what we got going on over there. VSiN.com/subscribe. You get the daily best bets. You get the betting splits. You get all of the stuff that we are going to be doing for March Madness. So not just the betting guide, but all of the articles and picks and everything that will be flowing through the site over the month of March. Do not miss out on this offer. $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. Matt Brown in for Gil. Going to talk some college basketball here in a second, some NBA awards, but Will Hill join us. Let's get your final thoughts here on the Super Bowl and how things went, what you thought of everything, and maybe even one NFL future that sticks out to you. But circling back to what we saw on Sunday, how did you fare? How did things go? And what did you feel about all the stuff that we're pontificating about here days later?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this game obviously for 2 weeks, and I think we were, you know, pretty much everyone I talked to, pretty much I heard on your show and everywhere else, was back and forth, and you know, people make good cases for both sides, and at the end it was a coin flip game to me. You know, if these teams played 10 times, San Francisco probably wins 6. I said yesterday on Lombardi Line, that's probably the worst loss anyone's had in the NFL, maybe since Atlanta at 28-3, considering the stakes of the game, how many chances they had to put it away, how many times they've been close to winning. You could say Detroit a couple of weeks ago was really bad too, but this was for a Super Bowl, not for a trip to the Super Bowl. And look, I mean, if you're Shanahan and if you're the 49ers, you say, hey, we'll be back. You know, we got a young team, we got a good team. This is now a 5-year run, 4 NFC title games, 2 Super Bowl appearances. You had a double digit lead in both Super Bowls. You had the ball with a double digit lead in the fourth quarter of the first one. You led the Rams by 10 points in the NFC title game 2 years ago. I mean, it wasn't all on Shanahan. We can go back and forth about the decision to take the ball in overtime. It wasn't all on him. And give him credit. He went for that fourth down where I was shocked he went for it on that fourth and three. They ended up with a touchdown. It's funny how when you go for it on fourth down and you end up with a touchdown, that doesn't get discussed as much as when you go for it and you don't get it. But look, I mean, it's hard to say all of these losses, all of these blown leads are a coincidence at this point with him. I mean, this is a lot. This is, if you throw in Atlanta, the 28-3, this is a lot of blown leads. So just a brutal loss for San Francisco. Had so many chances to go up, you know, 17-3, put the 14-17 point margin between you and Mahomes. And he's probably not going to get off the mat as great as he is. So just a bitter loss. I thought, second and five with like 3 minutes to go, 2.5 minutes to go, I thought just run it three times, you're going to get your 5 yards. They threw it. They only got a yard. You were risking stopping the clock there. To me, if you can just run it three times, get your 5 yards, you're going to trump Kansas City of all their timeouts. You're going to put yourself in a position where Moody's kick ends the fourth quarter and you either win the Super Bowl or you go to overtime. To me, I thought that was where they kind of lost the game. I was shocked they didn't put the game away. They were moving up and down the field that last drive. Just a bitter, bitter loss for the 49ers.
Talking to VSiN contributor Will Hill. You can find him on the Twitter machine at NotTheWillHill. Will, it wastes no time, right? I mean, these things were literally hitting the books as soon as the game was over. We're starting to get odds for things out in the future. The population, by the way, if you've not gone over to DraftKings and you want to take a look, there are surprisingly a lot of NFL bets that you can already make over there on the site, and you might be eyeballing one of those. What are you looking at here from a futures aspect?
I can't argue with anyone saying, hey, I'm going to put Kansas City in my pocket at, what is it, plus 650, plus 750. I'm just going to put it in my pocket. I'm going to wake up next January, and they're probably going to be in the AFC title game, and I'm going to be happy to have a, we'll call it, what is it, 7-1. I can't argue with that. I've done that in past years. If you're betting, theoretically, there are places where you can bet on credit. If you're doing it on credit, I understand. I don't love tying up my money for this long, but, like, I can't argue with that. If you're looking for just, hey, more topic of conversation, like a fun one, a number that might just be a little long, to me, Minnesota at 55-1. If they bring back Cousins, they've got a quarterback. I've never been the biggest Cousins fan, but I mean, you got Jefferson, you got Addison, you got a defense. Nobody picked off Flores to bring him in to be their head coach. He did an outstanding job. That's a team. Like, look, the 49ers, like we talked about, were a play away from winning the Super Bowl, probably should have won it. They beat the 49ers soundly this year. That team was going in the right direction. Now that division's gotten a little better. The Lions are in good shape. Packers with Love. The Bears are set up well with their draft picks and, you know, an improved defense. But to me, Minnesota 55-1 is at least interesting. I prefer to look for a team in the NFC because the AFC is just so stacked. I mean, you've got 9, 10, 11 really, really good teams in the AFC. They can't all get in. So to me, Minnesota 55-1 is at least interesting. If I was going to go on the AFC side, I'd like a little better number. I think you can get, if you shop around, like 25-1 on the Jets. I was high on them last year. We never got to see it play out. It was one of the more disappointing things of the season. With Rodgers going down four plays. And it's unfortunate because they traded for Rodgers, the football player, and he's a great football player. And what they ended up with was Rodgers, the coach, Rodgers, the GM, Rodgers, who gives the social commentary. It's the same thing with Minnesota. If you have Rodgers healthy, you have a quarterback, you have a defense, they've got the 10th pick in the draft. I'm not like an offensive line draft expert, but everyone seems to think there's a lot of offensive line talent in this draft. So if they can shore up the offensive line, you got a quarterback, you got a defense. Again, it's a brutal division. It's a brutal conference. They have a tough path. Everyone has a tough path, but, if you're looking, think outside the box, Jets and Vikings are a couple ones that jumped out to me.
Yeah, well, if you talk about the Vikings, I think that there's a way that you could look at this that kind of does tell your story because you have such a long number on them. So if you have that ticket in your pocket, and then if they actually, yes, it is a tough division, but if they make it to the playoffs, that means they're probably playing much better than they're playing above expectation, right? They're playing very, very well because they are having to get through the Lions and the Packers and all of that on four times a year. So you're actually getting a team that's playing better because the only way they can get there is to play better and beat teams of that caliber. So yeah, I in the offseason, when you get these longer shots, people bring up the toughness of division a lot of times. And I say, well, yeah, but that's part of the reason the numbers as long as it is, and that works out in your favor in the long run, because they either just don't make it and okay, whatever, I bet a 55-1, or you have the 55-1 and it's like, oh, they made it, which means they're playing very, very good because look how tough that division is.
Yeah, and they were, well, I think, 30-1 last year, and they, that was coming off a season where, like, a couple years ago, remember, they were the total fluke. They were a poster child for just being nowhere near as good as the record is. I think that 55-1 is built in with the fact that it's not 100% Cousins comes back, which, look, it's not 100%, and if you go the rookie quarterback route, if they ever draft J.J. McCarthy, look, you're stuck with a 55-1 that's probably not getting home. But if you could bring Cousins back with that defense, with Flores, with their skill guys, decent offensive line, that's a pretty good team in a conference that you want to be in. You at least want to be away from all the great quarterbacks in the AFC. You're much better being in the NFC.
Well, let's talk some NBA, and there was a, you know, shakeup in the MVP market with Joel Embiid no longer eligible to win MVP. So we start to see these odds move and shake around a little bit. So what do you see here from an MVP standpoint?
I was excited for the start of the season last night. It was good to finally get it going. Yeah, it's look, I think Kawhi is live at MVP. You've missed some of the better numbers there. The one award that dropped out, that jumped out to me, and Kawhi's dealing with the adductor. Kelly, I don't know how serious that is. If that's just, hey, we've got one game to the All-Star break, let's give him 2 weeks here. You always worry if you got Clippers futures, if you got Kawhi futures, like, you're always one tweet away from Shams or Woj of like, hey, this guy got hurt and, you know, he's not going to be back for a while. That's happened a lot with the Clippers. You got to keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
But the one that jumped out to me, Holmgren at +425 for rookie of the year. Like, I know Wembanyama's been great lately, but to me, that number just seems so long. Wembanyama's already missed 6 or 7 games. They're not a good team, obviously, so that could be held against them. If he ever, I don't think they would bench him just to bench him, just to load management at the end of the year, although Pop is the guy who invented load management. But any sort of ankle roll, any sort of health scare, they're going to be careful with him, and you got that 65-game threshold. To me, +425 on a team, that, on a guy that's really good, on a really good team, I just think that's a long number with Holmgren.
Kelly, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I guess the one thing we didn't bring up in all this is, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility in the world of load management that as the season winds down, they could kind of trend back the other way with Wembanyama. Like, he come back down to the only playing, you know, a handful of minutes every
night. We didn't talk about specifically, but we talked about how delicately they've handled him so far. And yes, they've increased the minutes, but yeah, Will, I mean, I'm already invested in Chet on worse numbers, so I'm good for now. But I hear you, because I do think it is, you know, he tweaks an ankle or something. It's not like somebody else tweaking their ankle. It's okay, you're going to sit for 3 weeks or whatever as compared to a week, because we're not going to rush you back and somehow make this worse and derail this whole process. So I like it.
And let's take a lesson from the NFL awards, which just got announced a week ago. Stefanski was like 80-1 in week 13. Joe Flacco was 60-1 with like 3 weeks left. These markets can be very sensitive. Just because you're the favorite halfway through, or, you know, 60-70% of the season through, that does not mean, you know, that you're a lock to win this award. You see some strange things with these awards.
All right, Will, we got 30-40 seconds here. Give us your favorite college basketball play of the night.
I'm going to take South Carolina +11.5. I feel like I'm walking into a trap a little bit. Anytime you can get that many points with a top 10 or 11 team, you feel like it's a little bit of a sucker bet. But to me, Auburn, you can still turn them over. Their guards can be a little shaky. I know this is a good spot for Auburn off a blowout loss in Florida. But to me, this will be a tight game. I'll take the 11.5 here with the Gamecocks.
He is VSiN contributor Will Hill. Thanks for the time today, buddy. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
So it is, unfortunately didn't get to his ooey pooey pick.
By the way, I Googled that. I never knew what IUPUI stood for. Do you know what that school is?
Indiana University, Pawtucket.
I was thinking along those lines. It's like a combo between Indiana and Purdue, where you can like take classes through both universities somehow.
There we go. And see,
I had no idea. No idea that was a thing.
Teaching people here on A Numbers Game today. You left smarter than when you started listening. You know what IUPUI is all about now. Let's talk some golf when we come back. Genesis, when we are here talking this tournament, me and Kelly Bidlin, all of our picks next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, new customers of DraftKings Sportsbook, go in. Use the promo code VSiN, and when you do, you can make yourself eligible for a no-sweat bet up to $1,000. Go in. Whatever your deposit amount, whatever your first bet is, if you are unlucky enough to not get that bet home, you will get that back in bonus bets. Up to $1,000, but you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. This is a new customer offer for DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you here on A Numbers Game on a Wednesday. It is golf season, as we just mentioned.
Yeah.
We found out what Ooey Pooey, we actually not only found out what Ooey Pooey is, we found out they do have a mascot, and they are the Ooey Pooey
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
Not Panthers. Right. I was about to say Panthers. Ooey Pooey Panthers sounds a lot better, but Ooey Pooey Jaguars is fine.
Yeah, I mean, please, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but the quick description, Matt, is Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, commonly referred to as IUPUI, Public Research University in Indianapolis, collaboration between Indiana and Purdue that offers undergraduate, graduate, and professional degrees from both universities.
There we go.
So I don't know why I didn't go to UFFSU or something like that. I could have picked and chose where I got my degree from. That would have been nice.
UFFSUFIU.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So the Genesis is this week. It is the return of Tiger Woods, if you have not heard. It is also the debut of Tiger Woods and his new clothing line, which tends to get more of the headlines than Tiger Woods actually his play in this tournament so far.
Sunday Red.
Yeah, it is. And listen, here's the thing. It's probably for a good cause, because if there's anybody that could possibly miss the cut at this event, it might be Tiger, who has been very inactive, and we just don't know how this is going to play out. Super long course, all the things that may not fit his game currently as we sit right now. But the reason I say could possibly miss the cut here is because technically there's a cut.
This is so dumb.
Yeah, technically there is a cut, but if you are within, if it's top 50 in ties, there's only 70 players in the field anyway. It's top 50 in ties and anyone within 10 strokes of the lead. So, again, in theory, there's a cut, but there's also a very real scenario that everyone makes it through.
Can I just walk you through my brain real quick when I was just initial research, right? Like, when we sit down to handicap a golf tournament, this is the one of the first things that you are doing, right? Field size, cut, that kind of stuff. I was so confused when I pulled this up, and I was like, okay. At first, I learned that there are going to be four. I didn't know that there was a whole four of these signature events that do have a cut this year. So I learned that, and I was like, oh, that's nice. That's great. And then I learned, and then I'm reading more about this. I'm like, okay, top. Okay, the field's going to be 70 players. I got that, 70 players. Cuts top 50 in ties with 70 players. And then what you just said, I had to call up Wes Reynolds. I knew he was writing, and I was like, I've got to be reading this wrong. How could there possibly be a cut? There might be eight guys that get cut. It might be less than that. It could be everybody makes the cut. It's incredible. It's a stupid rule. Apparently Tiger, though, demanded or wanted a cut at this event, and I'm all for a cut. Yeah. But just don't make it a stupid cut like this. This is just stupid.
So this course, it's long. It's apparently the conditions. We're just talking – obviously, Kelly and I here in Vegas are not over there, but there are boots on the ground over there that say that this course is going to play maybe even a little bit longer, because it's really soft conditions out there. So drives, different things might not get the run out that it used to get and all that. Kelly, it was always a course in which being longer helps. You can just look at the list of winners of late, and it's a bunch of guys that can really get it on out there. And so, I focused a ton on off the tee. I focused a ton on driving distance. I focused a ton on carry distance. If we're not going to be getting run out, I want guys that just like hit it a long way in the air. And also the other thing that does is it helps you play this course in interesting ways, because there are a few different holes that present themselves where you can take an alternate route to kind of go in about them. And so some risk reward holes for sure. It's a very fun course. One of my most fun tournaments to watch all year, given the way that the course is set up and the way that the holes, there are those risk reward holes and how you can go about it. So I'm down with this tournament. I'm down with everything. I'm not down with Tiger, though. Going to have no bets on Tiger this week. Listen, it's the same thing we said all last year, Kelly. I hope he does great. I hope he wins. I hope I'm wrong. I will gladly lose all of my outrights if Tiger wins, because what's good for the sport is Tiger being around and being good and at least being in contention. So,
and right now it really helps.
Yeah. But that being said, I just can't get there with no data. You and I are data guys, no data whatsoever on him at all. And then also the fact that you're coming back to one of the tougher courses. Actually, right. This isn't like, hey, let me come back and kind of test the waters here on one of these birdie fest court. No, this is like one of the tougher courses. Certainly one of the longer courses. Not that Tiger isn't long anymore, he is, but
of course he's never won at.
Yeah, and a course that even when he was in God mode, still never won.
Yeah, it's look. I think there would be interesting. I haven't really seen any many matchups. I don't know if there's many fade opportunities because of the weird way the cuts, designed. I wouldn't be running to bet a no cut on him because theoretically, or a miscut on him, and theoretically everybody could make it through. Nothing for me on the Tiger Woods front here either. Just real quick, a couple other notes on this course. I mean, it's really the first. Tournament that we're going to see this year where it's a true test to everything, right? You got the off the tee is important, both accuracy and length. Approach is important. Yes, you got some bigger greens, but there are horrible runoff areas here and some big traps surrounding these greens. There's no water. There's not a lot of bunkers, but the bunkers can be extremely penal. There's some different routes, like you talked about, the guys can take on these holes. So true test of golf, really excited for this tournament this week.
Yeah, there's a drivable par four that there's actually like four different ways you can go about it, right? Like you can just drive it into the greenside bunker, which again, some of these bunkers are very tricky. So you can go that route. You can try to go over the green and there's like some rough back there. You can play out of that. You can just lay up. Again, there will be different decisions to be made when it comes down to it. Scottie Scheffler is your favorite on the board at plus 650. Rory McIlroy is at 10-1. You get 14 on Xander and Victor Hovland, 16 on both Cantlay, JT. Colin Morikawa comes in at 18, Sam Burns at 20, as does Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg. I've heard Åberg, whatever.
So every time I try to correct this, I get corrected myself, but I have seen him now say multiple times in print articles, Åberg. It just go
we're
with that.
We're
makes
going
it
with Åberg.
Simple for
there
everybody.
There it is. Åberg. Take the A. Make it an O. Åberg. There we go. Jordan Spieth at 25. Adam Scott at 28. Some big names getting into that 30 range, even in a field that is as small as this is. Tony Finau's 30. Wyndham Clark's 35. Tommy Fleetwood's 35. Sahith Theegala, Matt Fitzpatrick, Cam Young, all sitting at 35-1 to win this thing. And you can actually get into some, guys that have won on tour in that 50-1 range. Siwoo Kim, Jason Day, Will Zalatoris, 55. Keegan Bradley, 55. So there's a lot of that big numbers out there with all of that. Kelly, as you ran your model and things spit out, where did you end up as far as your plays this week?
Yeah, what I ended up on is a few outrights. We talked about this a lot on the podcast. Get our full thoughts. Go listen to Long Shots. You'll get an hour of me, Wes, and Matt talking about this full tournament. But just to go through the card real quick, outrights on Schauffele, Morikawa, Adam Scott, Cameron Young. There is a lot of course history correlation here. And this is a lot. There's some big names at the top of the board that have all pretty much played pretty well here. But guys like Schauffele and Morikawa, guys that are putting up great statistical numbers right now that I think fit this course. Morikawa not as long off the tee, but we always talk about how those long irons can help make up for it. He's one of the best in the world with the long irons. You're going to see a lot of approach shots from 150 to 200 yards here. So I went with Schauffele and Morikawa. I do think we hit on the pod yesterday. I think we all kind of generally think there's a chance that we do finally see a winner here that's not in triple digits. So played outrights on those four guys. Adam Scott is by far the guy I like the most this week. He was spiking in all my models. Great recent results with what he's put out there. He was T9 last week, T20 at Pebble, T7 the Dubai Desert Classic. So pretty heavy top 20 bet for me this week on Adam Scott. Did dabble in the outrights, although his outright numbers keep going down. And then top 10 there on Schauffele and Morikawa to back up the outrights.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, like I said, I was looking a lot at driving distance and this week and less so much as accuracy because the fairways are very hard to hit regardless. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if people are going to be playing from outside, then I'm looking at distance and Adam Scott can still put it out there. I have a top 20 on Adam Scott and another guy can put it out there as well as Benny On. I think people got burned last week. And so I went ahead, put in a Benny On top 20. I'm not missing out on a win for Justin Thomas and Ludvig Åberg. They're going to win. They're playing so incredibly good, so I'm not missing out on them. Outrights on Thomas and Åberg. Sam Burns coming in as hot as any golfer on tour right now. I'm also on Cam Young. I have a Will Zalatoris, as is Wes. Will Zalatoris coming around, playing well. I don't know if we're going to see numbers as big as 60-1, 60-55, something like that.
Yeah.
On Will Zalatoris here very, very much longer. So I went ahead and put them in there. I did play one other, not making the graphic. I did put a little snort on Sam Ryder, and it was an unfortunate pod reference, and it's so it's a FOMO bet where I said, you know, none of us are on triple digits, but watch like Sam Ryder win the tournament or something. Yeah. And I go and look, and he's 375-1, and if I didn't have that ticket in my account, then I would hate myself.
Yeah, it was Chesson Hadley who I made that joke about a few weeks ago, who ended up on the first page.
Unfortunate pod reference FOMO bet coming up. Mike Pritchard joining us here on the other side of the hour.